Hey friends, Devin here for the Bardic Babble podcast, show where we interview creators about the things that they create. Today, we have the second in our bonus series where we're interviewing actual play podcasts. These are individuals who utilize a tabletop RPG game system to create a podcast. And joining me today, I have the editor and the dungeon master for the Discount Dungeons podcast. In the episode, we talk about the team's origin story, a little bit of their creative dynamics, and how they as a team have adjusted to the COVID changes. So make sure to stay tuned. All right, welcome back, listeners. Today, I am joined by Chris and Chris of Discount Dungeons. How are we doing today, Chris? What is plural Chris's?
I don't know. It is Chris's because I used to have three Chris's in one of my classes. I am doing great. You can call me DM Chris, Chris, or Saint to avoid confusion as we go forward at an early morning, but I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, doing good too. I just got off of work, so it's always a better part of the day. Nice. Yeah, you can just call me Discount Chris. It's how I'm lovingly referred to as on the podcast. There's a whole story behind that. We can go into that later.
And then Discount Chris, what do you do for the show?
Well, besides playing my character, Kakaw, I'm also one of the editors of the show. So I take the raw recordings and, you know, polish them up and edit out whatever we're going to cut and all that stuff.
Nice. And then not Discount Chris, you said you're the DM.
I am the DM. I craft the story. I deal with the shenanigans my players throw at me. And I step in when and where needed. So if they needed me to take over editing, I would attempt and fail miserably. But I'm kind of the putty. I go where I'm needed. I do what I'm needed. Most of what I've been doing has been just crafting the story and kind of working in our guests that we've had. That's where a lot of my time and energy goes.
What system do you guys utilize for your actual play podcast?
We use 5e, and it's pretty by the book. We've only introduced maybe one or two house rules for sanity's sake. I'm kind of a rules purist as a DM. If someone's listening to my podcast, I want to be able to flip over the DMG or the player's handbook and know exactly what's going on without needing like deep reference or anything like that to like how we've been playing for the last like 8 episodes or something.
Do you guys do any like of the modules, or do you specifically do homebrewed stuff?
For the Discount story, it has been specifically homebrewed. I will always admit I do take things that are pre-con from various modules and whatnot to save my time, because you are homebrewing every NPC, every spell, every everything. You basically might as well just make your own system at that point. So
right. Now, just in kind of a elevator pitch, what is your show? What's the story, the world? Sell me your show.
Our show is about a unique band of individuals as they fight inner turmoil and try to, at the same time, aid the larger world as a whole, which is going from an era of peace into an era of chaos.
Yeah, it's very much a story about the characters surviving in the world and overcoming their individual backstories. You know, there's 6 of us, so there's a lot of backstory to fight with, and it's, yeah. Current events, chaos, background stuff. It's very much about the characters.
Okay. How did you guys get into podcasting as a group?
Honestly, I said I wanted to do it, and everyone was like, sure, why not? There's not really like any depth or hesitation. It was I've been playing D&D for a while, and we used to joke back in my father's group that we would record it or something. We just never did, never came around to it. So literally, New Year's resolution for 2020 was to podcast, and that's what happened. Like, I've had a great group of players and friends willing to support what was just a random suggestion that we threw out one night.
And then pre-COVID lockdown, everything like that, did you guys normally play all together in the same room, or were you digital before too?
We were face-to-face.
Yep.
We've been face-to-face since what, early 2019?
Yeah, the group as a whole is like about a year, almost 2 years old at this point, year and a half, something like that.
It'll be 2 years, like February, something like that.
Sure, sounds good to me.
So how has your group taken to adapting to a a digital, you know, remote recording preface for you guys.
I'll field this one, Chris. Yeah, so that was a bit of a, it wasn't a challenge so much as it was an adjustment for the group because, you know, playing together in person, you know, every week, it was like a tradition for us. So not being able to do that was a little rough. We started recording online, you know, we all got on Discord calls and recorded our stuff. It wasn't too bad. Everyone was pretty good at recording their own content. And then they handed it off to me and I, you know, massaged it into place. So the actual technical aspects weren't that bad. It was more so like the psychological stuff of not being able to physically be there and interact with the with our friends face to face.
Yeah, coming from like the DM where I was really able to read my players' faces and whatnot, we lost a lot of that. We did catch it. We did get it back, but like there was an episode or two thing where it was we had gotten this nice thing where we weren't talking of each other, we were perfectly timing our things, and then just like that, when we had to switch to digital, we lost that because we couldn't see each other's lips and all that. So we got through it pretty quickly, but it was definitely a hiccup we all felt.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to your guys' audio production and everything like that, was it when you guys switched to digital, you all made sure you're on the same mic, on the same kind of recording? Especially coming from an editing standpoint, like what were the technical hurdles that you guys had to do with like hardware and stuff like that?
This one's all yours.
Yeah. as far as like which mics we were using, unfortunately, so we usually use Yetis to record our podcast in person. Unfortunately, you know, even the cheapest Yeti is not that cheap. So not everyone could have Yetis because there's seven of us. Even with a few of us living within the same house, it's still not really viable. So everyone just kind of uses the best microphone they have. Several of us do have Yetis, so that helps. But yeah, it's just kind of whatever we have. Luckily for me, everyone's microphone is pretty good. There's not any obvious degradation in sound quality, as long as it's recorded properly, of course. But yeah, so it's kind of a free-for-all right now. You know, we just recently started recording in person, so that's nice. Besides the fact of the different microphones and everything, I also don't have to edit 6 tracks of audio anymore, which is fantastic.
Oh, don't forget that nice setup you had gotten that we got to record once before we went into lockdown.
We get to use it now. Yeah. So we started with one Yeti and then we got a mixer and we got multiple microphones and we got to use the multiple microphone setup once before we went into lockdown. And then I just recently got to use it for the second time.
Hey, at least you got a second time. Let's go around.
Yeah. So hopefully everything stays nice and good and we can continue to record in person for all of our sanities.
Yeah, it is much needed.
Right. So when you were doing the 6 tracks, how long was an edit taking you?
Yeah, so our episode started out around 2.5 hours-ish, you know, give or take half an hour, because we would just like record the entire session and then I would edit it and then it would be that's an episode. We were done. But when we split into 6 tracks for recording at home, it was way too much for me. Because, you know, so far we haven't really missed a deadline for getting an episode out. But during that transition, it got rough because a normal episode of that length with the one audio track took me maybe 6 hours to edit, maybe 7, depending on how long it was. But then once we started going to the 6 tracks and also 2.5 hours, give or take, it was taking me 8 to 10 hours to edit it, which, you know, with my own personal life and, you know, work and everything else, was just way too stressful. So we cut our episode time down to around 1.5 hours, which helped me out a lot. And that's kind of where we're keeping our episodes, to also just make them more digestible.
I gotcha. And then you said you do a weekly release or biweekly?
Every other week.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you guys have been, at least since, you know, I've picked you guys up on social media, you guys are very active community builders. Have you found, especially during the lockdown and COVID and everything like that, that it was easier or harder to community build?
I think it really came down to the day. Patch who plays the two deck. He is the one who handles our Twitter account. He is the active face of Discount, and he's a great guy. So he did a lot, and I know early on it was being very supportive, but like there were some days that even he, being the cheerful guy that he is, like us, we're just like, okay, I just gotta breathe just one more day. I know, at least from my perspective as a DM, being able to interface with people for some stuff we're brewing up and for the guest spots is a lot easier because people were working from home. They had a little bit more free time because they didn't have to like drive 15 minutes to get lunch or take care of errands and things like that. So like from a DM standpoint, being able to like get in touch with people and plan things a little bit more in detail, have a better idea of, okay, they want to play this, so this is how I can work into the story. It was helpful from that standpoint. And it also gave me a lot of time to actually just meet people and talk to people a little bit more consistently. So like friendships that would have taken maybe 3 or 4 months to build kind of happened in a matter of like a month because we could talk two hours a day just because you have your phone, you have your work, and you're all in one place. You don't have to worry about like your boss looking over your shoulder, etc.
Yeah, we definitely have the advantage. I feel most podcasts feel this way, is that since we are pretty much an entirely digital brand and a digital product, where you are kind of doesn't really matter as much. You can kind of do your work on the podcast wherever you want.
Right. So with you, you said there's 7 members of the show?
Yep.
Does each one have a specific role when it comes to social media editing, or is it just kind of the members that you've mentioned so far?
Patch does the social media. I'll sometimes tag in if he needs a break. Chris and Vero handle editing in chunks. Megan, who plays Stacy, is our official artist. My wife, Meg, and Sean, they kind of are in the background. They are more moral support for all of us. But they do their own things. They're great to have around. They do make D&D themselves, but they've kind of decided to take more of like a non-face fronting role amongst the group.
Yeah, it's just with 7 people, there's not enough jobs for everyone to have a specific role. So
yeah,
Meg does a little bit of art though. She dabbles in
it. Yeah, she does. But she's definitely more comfortable being like behind the scenes, not interfacing with people. My wife, as much as I love her, she's a little shy at times.
Yeah, Vero does the kind of like the post where it's like sound effects and like background music and stuff like that. So by the time I handed it off to Vero, it's all edited and cut together. It just needs all the fancy sprinkles on top.
Gotcha. Do any of you have a background in those specialties? Patch, does he work in social media? Chris, Discount Chris, do you have a field experience with editing, or did you guys just pick these up for the show?
I'll try answering as best as possible. Like Patch has a management background, but not specifically in social media. Me and him actually go all the way back to the freshman year of college together back in 2003. That sounds right. No, 2009. Wow. Yeah, I have not had enough coffee today. 2009 is when we met.
I was going to say, you're off on that one.
But I wouldn't say he's specifically has a background in social media management. He's just a manager kind of person. That was his background. So I think it was just an easy kind of step in transition, because you've met Patch, Chris. He's a very friendly, very optimistic guy. So
I've met him a few times.
Yeah. So it wasn't like a huge twist or for him to kind of step into that role pretty easily.
As far as I'm aware, Megan has been drawing for ever.
Yeah.
Megan doesn't work in art, but you know, it's been a hobby of hers for a long, long time. As for me with editing, I did a brief period of time where I was streaming on Twitch and making YouTube videos. It was very brief. It was like 2 months. I produced like maybe 10 videos total. So I was slightly familiar with editing, but by no means nearly as good as I'm at it now. I've done way more editing for Discount Dungeons than I have for anything else by like 20-fold.
And I believe Vero did have industry background, but like she did take a class or two before she moved out here to join us just for funds. But I wouldn't say she had like a true background in it.
Okay. So now I kind of just want to pivot just into your guys's, into the content of the show very specifically.
Sure.
So you mentioned you've been doing this for almost 2 years now. And what episode are you guys on right now?
We have released up to 15, and I think we're recording 21, 22?
No, I believe it's episode 20 is tomorrow.
Is it 20? I could have sworn we did 20 already.
But yeah, I don't think so. I've kind of lost track.
Yeah, we're like, we try to have a bit of a backlog just in case we need to take time off from recording so we can still release consistently. So our first episode posted, I think it was the second week of January?
Something like that. I think it was January 15th.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been a group for 2 years, but we've only been doing the podcast starting this year.
Yeah. So, because we did a small group of us that was before Barrow and my wife joined us. We did a Dragon Heist campaign. That's how we kind of met. And then Barrow and Meg decided to join us. And that's how we became Discount, brand, I guess.
And the fateful question. Hey, do you guys want to do a podcast? And a resounding, sure.
Yeah.
It's great that the inevitable question of, do you guys want to do a podcast? It's great that we live in 2020 where it's accessible. It's easy to pick up the skills to utilize. And I'm loving seeing more actual plays hitting the market.
Yeah, it is. It was one of those things that when we first put our foot into it, we didn't realize how much it actually was already out there. We're like, yeah, people are probably doing it, whatever. But we did not realize the pure volume and the amazing talent that was out there. It was very eye-opening.
But hey, if there wasn't that many podcasts out there, we would have come up with our name.
This is true.
So that's just on that same train of thought. Why Discount Dungeons? Like, where was the headspace with that?
I'll field this one, Chris. So as I've said, people lovingly call me Discount Chris. Our group has two different duplicate names. There's Meg and Megan. We call them that specifically for reasons. And then there's, you know, DM Chris, and then Discount Chris. So that name came about because of Vero. We were hanging out one night, just kind of hanging out, playing games and whatnot. And
it was actually Vero's welcome dinner.
That's right. Was it the day I met Vero?
It was the day you met Vero.
Awesome. Perfect. Yeah, the day I met Vero, Vero was trying to like keep the name straight and everything. So, you know, she just like off the cuff randomly called me Discount Chris. And everyone in the group just started dying laughing. And she was like, oh my God, I didn't mean to say that and all that stuff. And I was like, it's totally fine. I'm down for that. I've dealt with multiple Chris's all my life, and that's easily the best way that's ever gone. So then, you know, fast forward, you know, a couple months, and Chris is like, we should do a podcast. So we're coming up with names, you know, we're throwing out all these names and finding out all of them are taken. So at one point, someone threw out the name Discount Dungeons because it was like a riff off of my name. And lo and behold, that's what it ended up being.
Yeah, it stuck. And it does kind of, as Vero puts it, our DM came for a serious gritty story, but he got his players on discount. Like, that's their kind of motto for us. Because if you listen to the show, I have a very kind of brutal, grim story that hit a little too close to home with everything that was happening this year. And my players find ways to inject brutal amounts of levity into each situation, no matter how dark I try to make it.
You're welcome.
I was going to say, entering into what could be considered a very saturated market, the actual play podcast scene, did you find it hard doing the community building, marketing your show, and you know, finding your guys' core audience?
They actually kind of,
oof, good question,
chuckled me for a little bit there. I'm going to say, we honestly didn't really expect to build anything. We just wanted to put our foot in, try it, and see what happened. And Patch just kind of started doing some things, and the followers started to flow in, and then we started making some connections. It was really just a snowball. There was no plan. There was no, like, if we get a follower, we get a follower. If we get 100 followers, we get 100 followers. If we get 100 downloads, we get 100 downloads. So we wanted to do this for ourselves, and then it just seems to have kind of snowballed. As we've gotten more confident, we've made more friends. We've made more people. We've actually started getting a product out there because like there was some growing pains, especially because like our first two actual recordings, they never made it to air. They were unsalvageable on so many levels. They are just atrocities.
It was so bad.
But like that kind of growing pain, it taught us a lot of lessons that I think have yielded very good results and has helped us kind of stick out a little bit. And it is that kind of this quirky, dark, grim humor that we have that does kind of make us stand out a little bit. Because there's a lot of people that are serious. There's a lot of people that are funny and chaotic and all over the place. And then there's us in this middle where it's the DM is trying to almost set up a dystopia and the players are just like, look at that green grass over there and the most random part of the monologue. And they just go off leaving it.
Yeah. We never had any expectations at all starting this. Like, we were joking in the beginning. We're like, hey, maybe we'll get like 10 views. You know, like our friends and family will look at it and then that's about it. Honestly, I give a lot of credit to Patch for doing a lot of the work on social media. It's kind of crazy how things have gone. We still don't expect anything to happen. Like, we still, every day, I expect to wake up and just be like, everyone forgot about us. Because I'm just like, why? Not that I don't love our listeners. They're fantastic.
Yeah, to say imposter syndrome is something that pops up in our heads fairly regularly would be an understatement.
Constantly.
I know, speaking of some of the people that like don't interface with the community as much, like Sean, he goes, I still don't believe this is happening 90% of the time. He's like, it's a dream. I'm going to wake up with a fever or something. I am someone who's honestly, and Chris can attest to this, I'm a DM that's plagued with self-doubt. So I always question what I'm DMing, the kind of product I am creating. And that was another reason I wanted to do the podcast, because it would force me to just not dwell on everything. I have to move on to the next thing. Like, the episode's posted, I can't change anything about it. I have to keep moving myself and my story forward. And I think that has helped me grow in leaps that I wouldn't have if I had just stayed in my comfort zone.
Yeah, so we just try to do our own thing and whatever happens, happens. We have no goals or expectations. Well, we have goals, but we have no expectations.
Well, that's I like the mentality you went in it for you guys. And then, you know, that the friends and family, if they choose to listen, kind of a thought, because anything beyond that, it's gravy. And being able to build that community and see that community that, you know, especially Patches Engineering for you guys, I imagine where the imposter syndrome is heavy, that is very uplifting and motivating to continue.
Yeah, it has helped.
So are you guys doing like a seasonal arc kind of a thing? Get through season one, see where your show's at, and then, you know, go on from that?
Yes, Chris. What are the future plans?
I have a rough outline that takes the players to fairly high team levels. I'm not sure if it's going to be like season one, season two, because we do have this very kind of ad hoc kind of improv style. A lot of the arcs I had planned and had hoped to get to have been shredded by recent decisions of the party. So the arcs I thought I was going to have, they no longer exist in any perceivable form that I had outlined. So it's probably going to be more like how Critical Role was, just like campaign one was like 156 episodes. And that's probably going to be more what it is. We'll probably break it down by campaign more so than like legit season. I am trying to end the year on something tense. I'm not sure if how we record things is going to pop up. So that remains to be seen.
Don't worry, we'll mess it up. It's fine.
they will. They will. Story of my life.
So do you guys as a team have any other plans for other content, diving into other game systems, streaming on Twitch, anything of that nature?
I know Chris and Sean have kind of played around like streaming on our Discord, some just like random games and whatnot inconsistently. We've talked about live streaming, but we don't really have a place where we can set up the equipment properly, especially if we want to game in person. As much as I love my house, it is not set up to have that kind of feel to it. It's just a little, it's big enough for me and my wife, but too small to have like a camera and all of us facing it. We are planning some additional content specifically for like our Patreon. That's some homebrew style stuff in the DD world that's somewhat canonical, but not actually part of the story as a whole. We have discussed doing some like one shots and other systems like Call of Cthulhu, Ten Candles, Dread. I know I've started looking into like Pathfinder 2E just out of curiosity. I know there's been us considering basically anything. Like we do like a lot of systems. It's just trying to balance multiple systems while trying to tell a cohesive story with the DD thing wasn't something we wanted to try handling all at once. Like, we didn't want to set ourselves up for accidental failure just because we were taking on too much. But I do think there will be other systems in the future, especially after we get to a decent wrap-up point with the main campaign, because I know I'm going to want to take a step back and actually maybe game and not DM for a little bit.
Nonsense.
Yes, I'm the forever DM.
Yeah, I mean, we try to do other content mostly for our Patreons to give them some more kind of like behind the scenes stuff and just like us as people, just like what we're like outside of recording, which is really the same person anyway, but
more or less.
Yeah, we had plans to do all sorts of stuff, but unfortunately that those plans were kind of dashed with COVID because a lot of those things we were going to do in person and stuff, and some of them don't actually work online at all. So
yeah, there's that.
We're doing what we can. We try to create as much new content as we can, but you know, there's seven of us. We all have our own personal lives and work and everything, so it's tough.
I know there was the joke that we were going to do a Yu-Gi-Oh! Inspired Deadlands at one point.
Wait, when was that?
It was me and Sean, because the Huckster is a class, and they basically do playing cards. It was going to be, me and him were joking that we were going to write a one-shot where it was everyone on the top of a train playing card games to the death.
So you've also mentioned having guests on your show a couple of times. Can you just kind of walk me through what that looks like for your team in the show?
Normally, they'll either reach out to Patch, or Patch will reach out to someone that we're interested in having join us. Usually someone that we've had multiple interactions with and are pretty confident we'll have good chemistry with. From that initial contact, I start getting involved, and then I kind of figure out what kind of character they want to play. Do they want to be linked to one of the characters' backstories? Do they just want to be kind of a random person in the world that bumps into this group of misfits and joins the story before finding their own path? And then from there, we discuss class, race, things like that, and we build the character more or less. It is together with them having full control over how it's played, the stats and everything like that. But me being very much there to help them make it feel very organic in the world and not just like, oh, we plopped a random person in the play. So they feel very connected, not just to the group, but to the world as a whole. So far, one guest has appeared. Lots of spoilers, so I can't really say more than that. Our next one.
What? No, we've had two, Chris. You forgot Truck.
Oh, Truck, yes.
One of the fan favorite guests.
So, yeah, Truck was episode 3. The second guest, who for some reason I thought was our first because they totally keep track of everything.
It's been a while.
They just finished up their arc in episode 15. And then it's, I think, the next guest appears in episode 17?
Yes. So I'm editing it right now.
And that is Nick from Know Your Role. And I have one more guest planned for the year. And then we started planning next year's guests as well. I like giving them lots of time to kind of, A, keep up with the story. B, be able to give them enough notice about changes that have happened in the story that haven't gone live yet. So like, I like having at least a month or two in advance to kind of work through these characters and make sure everything lines up nice and smooth. So again, like as much as like you'd love bringing that friend in to play with you, like, it's just weird sometimes to have like, oh yeah, and so-and-so joined you. So like, I like tying it into the story as much as possible. So there's a lot of back house stuff that I'm doing to make sure that is as doable as possible.
Yeah. And, so our first guest, Truck, was a friend of yours, Chris, right?
Yeah, it was my friend Phil. You're older than him, but we were literally raised together. Our parents play D&D together still. And I picked him up from the airport because he was coming home for the holidays and we were recording our third episode. I'm like, just join us. He's like, sure. I haven't played D&D in like 3 years. I'm like, okay. So luckily,
back in the Wild West days of Discount Dungeons when we just did things off the cuff.
Luckily, they were in a pretty chaotic point where the story was just forming. So just having someone randomly appear was pretty easy. I didn't have to think about the deep and convoluted of how do they run into this? Why are they connected? Why are they doing together? It's just, oh no, we're all running from death. That's good enough.
Yeah. all of our guests since then have been, you know, online. So they just record their own tracks like the rest of us do. And we set up a Google Drive link and they put their stuff in there. Pretty seamless.
Oh, smart. Now, you mentioned that you run them through their arcs. Do you give them a couple episodes, or is it you try to fit as much of that into one if you can?
We've kind of been going as it feels natural. And at least 2 to 3 episodes should be enough, because that's about 3 hours worth of content with them, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, it's more like 4 or 5.
4 or 5. But like there hasn't been a set thing, but it's kind of how we can smoothly have them exit the show as well. So it's not just like this random rope that's dangling. It's like they've gone off to do their thing. They exist in the world. They could come back. They could not. But their time with the group has diverged.
Yeah. I will put it this way. Of all every single guest we've had was planned to only be on for one episode, maybe two. And outside of Truck, which was recorded in person, so we had no choice, every guest has stayed on at least 2 or 3.
Well, I'm going to say, I knew the guest that just finished up their spot, he was going to be a two-parter.
Okay.
But I was also operating on the assumption, because we were going to have like the 2 or 3 hour episodes when I had originally planned him.
That's fair.
So like that would be more than enough time to get through everything. And then we moved to the shorter length of episodes. So that's like, that threw me off a little bit in terms of like how I was planning everything. But I do think that spacing it out actually did work better. So
I like giving the guests more time anyway, as long as, you know, they're amenable to it. It allows them to get more interaction with our characters and have, you know, kind of more fun rather than just be like, hi, bye.
Yeah. So I think going forward, as we continue bringing people on, it is going to be kind of like, okay, because I know people have schedules, they have other obligations to keep. So it's going to be like, probably expect to record with us at least twice and maybe a third time, depending on how things go, but like it's trying to keep it at least as smooth and as respectful of their time as well. So I think, at least in my head, I plan for like 3 episodes is generally the length of what I plan for them to be through.
Really? Other than just getting into the lore of the show and everything like that, I don't have any more real technical questions.
Oh, sure.
Anything else on the technical side of things you guys wanted to chat about? Is somebody a professional juggler, or you have some weird connection to Alec Baldwin?
No, not really that I can think of. I mean, part of why I like the Gritty is that my background is biology. So I know for some of the episodes that we didn't record, I had some very visual descriptions of where the blows landed that took a little too much time because I got a little too into it that night. But
the episodes that will never see the light of day.
Thank God.
It wasn't even just like audio issues. It was like, We were dropping like major character spoilers and like all sorts of stuff. Because we were still getting used to the idea of making a show and recording things. And so yeah, it was just like after we recorded it, I went back and listened to it. I'm like, guys, we can't use this.
Like the dice were atrocious. There was the background sounds. There was like a reveal that I think hasn't happened yet or just happened.
Maybe. It was a lot of things. It was a lot of things.
Yeah, it was mistakes were made and learned from very quickly.
We've talked to other people in the community as well, and they've had similar stories of like, yeah, our first recordings are, we had to trash them. They were garbage. And we're like, yeah, we know how that goes. Yeah, we have some plans for maybe some ways to release that content in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I know Megan is looking into that.
I was gonna say, that's why if you listen to episode 1, it seems like it picks up like mid-story, because it kind of does. You really have to, I mean, we edited it all together now, but there was a separate intro that kind of quickly reviewed stuff that happened beforehand to kind of move you into the actual first episode, but that's been reworked. Now it's all in the episode. But yeah, that's why it sounds like it starts partway through, because it actually
it does.
Now I just want to really head first into the lore. What is the name of the world that you guys are running through?
You're going to hate me for this, but it's Palan Udun Glatten. It's Elvish for the shining, the glittering rocks of the sky or something like that. I need to change the name. It is too hard to pronounce. It is a planet that has literally been upheaved at least 3 times in the last 10,000 years. We're talking near major extinction level events. It is circled by 3 moons. And has a small dust belt around it. which when the sun sets, creates a very glittering, sparkling sky, which is why the elves named the planet as such.
You've literally never told us this.
Yeah, I know.
Spoilers.
It is actually in one of the things that we recorded pre-campaign. It was like episode 00. And I went into like the background of the rules we were using. And I said the name, and you guys all stared at me going, we're never calling that planet that. Like, I just remember it. I'm like, okay, I got to think of something different.
And then what is the plot that you're leading them through right now, Chris?
Right now, it's very interpersonal. We have deeply delved into Stacy and Atudak's backstory. I can't really say more without spoiling some huge turn of events. So, but if you like very personal driven stories, the last few episodes and the next coming few are going to be very much up your alley. Before that, which I can be a little bit more liberal about, we had I've always wanted to run like a plague arc because I just love plague gods and things like that. So of course that's the hook I started everything on, and then COVID.
Yeah, we're playing a plague arc in the middle of COVID. It was kind of weird.
So like my players eventually kind of went like, we need a break from Plague Town because we're living in Plague Town in real life. So we shifted gears to a very personal story, which luckily I was able to facilitate very much more smoothly than I was anticipating. So I was expecting some things to happen. So, like, even they noticed when I ended the last like arc, as it was like I gave my players a very easy out. Like, normally I'm not a DM that tells people how to get out of things. I'm like, figure it out for yourself. I basically laid out their escape plan for them because I knew my players were just mentally fatigued from that story. I'm trying to think of how I can actually describe the current arcs without literally spoiling things. It is super hard.
So for just the lay listener, you're kind of running it in a similar style to how Critical Role does. You might have an overarching plot in the background that kind of surfaces occasionally, but it's very much about the independent arcs of the team together.
Yeah, that is definitely how it has turned out. And I think that's how the story is going to proceed for the foreseeable future.
And that's I personally like that, because when you have a bigger group, it's a little hard to, especially as a player, to feel like you're getting any kind of forward momentum and dynamics within your character without, you know, some stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have a lot of weird parallels with Critical Role, honestly. Not that we're anywhere nearly as good as them, because, like, you know, obviously it's Critical Role. But yeah, we have like the same number of people. We have like the same kind of style. It's weird. It's really weird.
I mean, someone compared my voice to Matt Mercer's, so that was weird.
I could see it. I mean, that's good, especially with Critical Role leading the way in actual play podcasts. It's not a bad thing to draw similarities to them.
Yeah, it's interesting how our story has shaped out, because, like I said, I have a very overarching plot in mind. I have to make it rear its ugly head at some point so everyone knows it still exists. But I've been enjoying delving into the stories of the characters and watching everyone's reactions to them. It has been delicious.
It's fun as a DM, especially having to adapt to... personally, I've never had to deal with a global pandemic, but... Just having to make the pivots, especially in content, especially in actual play where you have an audience, you have listeners, you know, the subtle shifts and change in storytelling that you have to make to accommodate that. So a personal round of applause to you all for very brilliantly and eloquently just shifting on that and continuing your guys' flow. I know a lot of podcasts have shuttered and started because of COVID. So kudos.
Unfortunately, that's the case. And like I said, D&D is something I kind of have in my blood. Like, I grew up on it. It is how our friend group has bonded and formed. So I think even if like COVID was a thing, because obviously it is, it was never going to really stop us. Like, it put X disaster short of it cutting out the internet. I don't think anything was going to stop us from doing this.
Yeah. Oh, that's something we can talk about, how the group formed.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's quite an interesting story.
So Patch, our lovely Atudak, our media manager extraordinaire, he hadn't played D&D in years, and he was dying to play. And Dragon Heist just came out, and it was a nice little level thing. I wanted to do something low, not combat-focused, so I needed to find people that could play. Obviously, Patch was down. Sean, who plays Skizix, he works at a game shop down the street from where I live. So I go there, and me and him have maybe seen each other's faces a dozen times, but never really, like, talked. We weren't really friends, but like I'm like, hey, like, do you have like a bulletin board where I can post like an ad? And he's like, sure, sure. Like, what are you posting for? Like, I'm trying to get a group to play D&D. I have one person. Like, I'm trying to keep it small, like no more than four. Like, I wanted a nice small group because I just wanted to like nice. And he's like, I might be down. I might have a friend who's in. I'm like, okay, okay. So he talks to Megan, who is the friend, and she's in, but of course hesitant because a random person she's never met. And I have the thing up. And eventually, I think it's like a week and a half later, Chris texts me.
Yep. And yeah, so I went to the game shop because I was at a point in my life where I randomly had a lot of free time. So I literally went to the game shop with this sole intent of seeing I could find a game to join, you know, D&D. I kind of was thinking that they would run games at the shop, you know, as a lot of game shops do. So I went there and the guy that was working there, not Sean, told me about this ad. So I texted Chris and I assumed this whole time it was at the game shop. And he's like giving me details and stuff. And I don't recommend anyone that listens to this, don't do what I did. Just don't. So I texted Chris. I've texted him for maybe a week, 2 weeks. And I go to his house to play D&D. Someone I've never met.
Hey, come on over. Let me show you my basement.
Right, exactly. I went to some dude's house that I've never met before. After talking to him for like 2 weeks, and I'm just like, yep, I'm just going to play D&D. I told my friends that I was like, hey, I'm going to this dude's house to play D&D. I've never met him. If you don't hear from me in like a few hours, say something. So that worked out, but don't do that.
Yeah, so that's how the first part of it got together. Vero and Megan were dating, but Vero was living over in
Las Vegas.
Vegas. Yeah, and she decided to move here for Megan, and she was kind of worried about not being able to game. And so like Megan was like, do you mind if she joins? I'm like, yeah, once our Dragonite thing wraps up, I'll happily add a fifth person. Because like we were at a point in Dragonite where like trying to add another player just would have been more chaos than anything. So that's how that happened. And then like we got my wife to join, and we have been, because she was always kind of just like around after work while we were playing. I'm like, no, just join us. So we've had a very tight-knit group ever since. And we do a lot of like random stuff together. Like we will stream movies. Chris actually had us watching the Mythica series at one point, and we were just pigging out eating like Chinese.
Watch the Mythica series. It's a fantastic B movie or B movies. It's a series.
It is brutal. Like you have to go in with like a glass of alcohol and Chinese food. Like that's the kind of B movie we're talking about.
We once saw the Fast and the Furious movie together.
We saw Shaw's and Hall.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right. It was, yeah, that movie.
That was a blast. Yeah,
we're friends through and through. And we're just, you know, every week or two, we record some shit.
Hey, there you go. So that's all the questions that I really have. I'm good to do some sign off unless anything else.
I mean, you're the one running this. So if you're good, we're good.
Yeah, but
I just like leaving a little time at the end in case there's, you know, some.
I mean, if you want to ask anything random about the characters or stories that sounds that you might not be a spoiler, I'll happily answer it.
So the way that I've actually been doing the actual play stuff is I want them to go and listen to the show.
Fair enough.
So I like talking about, you know, the processes, the team, how everybody got together, because it's kind of that lure to the show. And then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Well, we appreciate that.
We do appreciate that.
I want them to become super fans. I want them to go and listen to the whole thing beginning to end rather than get a bite here. And, oh, cool. Well, I got that kind of a thing. So
fair enough.
Thank you both for joining me on the show and talking about your team, your process, and your podcast.
Thank you so much for having us.
Where amongst the social ether can we find you guys?
You can find us at Discount Dungeons. The handle is...
It's at @discount_DND.
Yeah. You can find me personally at sdaemons, DAEMONS. On Twitter, that's where you'll find me.
Yeah, you can find me at @redshoedude_. But if you want to check out the show, like I said, our Twitter has all of our links to all of our stuff on it. You can find our podcast on pretty much every platform imaginable at this point.
And you can also find our Discord server. It's in our link tree. So yep. You can talk to us there.
It is a public server. We do also have a Patreon that gives you Discord exclusive benefits and other content and art and all sorts of goodies.
Yep. And that is also in our link tree.
Cool. And then I'll take that link tree and I will make sure to include it in the show notes, as well as routing you guys out to, I'll just grab a couple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, stuff like that.
Yep. Sounds good.
Find the show. And then socials, I'll snag those as well. But other than that, if you are listening to the episode, be sure to head over to discount_DND on Twitter and give these guys a follow. Drop a listener to a couple of the episodes and just get on in on some great D&D actual play content.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Discount Chris, I am going to hate calling you Discount Chris. May I die?
Maybe one day we'll come up with a better nickname. I don't know. It's kind of hard to beat.
Well, I mean, it's one thing when you're part of the group and another thing when you're just a random interviewer from the internet.
That's fair. And outside of company, you're like, is this really what you want me to call you? I get that.
But thank you again, gentlemen, for joining me and having this conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us. This is a blast.
Thank you. It was a great time.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Bardic Babble. Bardic Babble is a part of the Bard Podcast Network's family of shows. You can find Bardic Babble and all of our other shows at thebardpodcast.com. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe for updates on new episodes. We can't wait to share the next story with you.